Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, welcome back, Every Nation. And I hope you were so blessed by that time of song and worship. And so we're blessed to have Kim as our worship leader here. And so let's get right into the word. And so have you ever read sections of your Bible where you're reading and it just becomes like boring, or you're just like, why am I reading this? Like, I know we're Christians and we're not supposed to say that, but can I shoot you straight? Like, sometimes I read some of these genealogies and I'm like, who cares? And let's just keep flipping the pages. But I'm not proud of that. But here's what I have learned over the years. Is it's in those areas, at times, that God can surprise you with what he shows you. And I know, like, Matthew's gospel, it begins with a genealogy, and it's like, wah, wah, wah. But as you start to dig into that genealogy, the lineage of Jesus, and it's amazing, you start seeing some of the characters and the scoundrels that were in the line of Christ, prostitutes and murderers and just not good people. You know what? A couple things that makes me feel better about my own family lineage, and as well, it gives me hope for me that God can work through someone, through people with issues. And for the record, we all have issues, all right? I can remember as well, I was reading through the book of Nehemiah. It's a great book, but it starts to bog down when they start talking about the rebuilding of the wall around Jerusalem. And listen, it's not an entertainment building show like HGTV or anything like that, but rather, I mean, there's this entire section where it's like so-and-so built beside so-and-so, built beside so-and-so, and it can become unbelievably monotonous. But when I dialed in, suddenly I noticed in Nehemiah 3:16, it says, as they were building the wall, suddenly they throw in this nugget. It says in Nehemiah 3:16 that they rebuilt the house of heroes. I was like, what is that? I mean, I had to look up in all my concordances, and it was a house built for the Geborim, or the mighty men. And so I was fascinated by that. And so our text today, if you're not careful, you're going to skim right through this thing, because we're going to be in 1 Chronicles today. I know you've all been enjoying reading 1 Chronicles, but Chronicles can be a tough read, man. It's like reading the phone book, you know. It's just, it's the chronicle of just the lineage of the tribes of Judah. And as you start reading this thing, it's like, oh man, boring, blah, blah, blah. But get this, right in the middle of the monotony, suddenly, it's like the author of the book of Chronicles, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, double clicks on this section. And now it just stops and zooms in on this man. His Jewish name is Yebetz, but you may know him through the English transliteration, Jabez. All right, and that's where we're going to be, is in the prayer of Jabez. It's going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says this in verse 9, it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Verse 10, Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my border, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, so that it might not bring me pain. And God granted what he asked. And so, so if the author of Chronicles, he double clicked on this character, Jabez, let's have us dial down a little bit and look at this man. And so, notice this, it begins by saying, that he was honorable. He was more honorable than his brothers. And so I believe this is the reason why they stopped the whole chronicle, of the lineage of the tribe of Judah. It was interrupted. Why? Because there's something attractive about honorable men and women. There just is. Humanity, we're drawn to people that honor other people. And you know what? So is Almighty God. So the word for honor in the Hebrew, it's the word kabod. It means to be heavy or weighty. And so you have to ask yourself the question this morning, are you honorable? And if you're like, hey, pastor, if you're asking me, am I heavy or weighty? The answer is yes. After the holidays, put on a few pounds. That's not what I'm talking about. But maybe the Bible is kind of talking that way because, listen, if you think about the word to be heavy or weighty, and it's this idea of tipping the scales, right? And so the heaviest portion is always going to get the bulk of your attention, your affection, your service, your loyalty. And so what is that thing that weighs the scale of your life that most of your life is pointed to? We've done it another way before. We've said this, that Jesus, he must become the weightiest part of our life. Or if we were going to get back to old arithmetic, right? If you remember that, the greater than sign. Jesus is greater than whatever you put in. And I know, we had a great woman in our church, Ellen and Jessica. They actually made this cup for me, and I just so love it because it is what we're talking about today. Jesus is greater than whatever you want to put in that other section. And so he is, why? Because we honor Jesus above everything else. And if you remember, remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness? What did the devil go after? He went after his honor. And so remember what he does? It was like, man, trying to tip the scales for Jesus. Right. And so Jesus has honored his father. He says, I only do what my father does. I only say what my father says. And so what does the devil do? He tries to increase the weight on this side. And so he says, I'll offer you bread, Jesus. Nope. I'll offer you riches. I'll offer you kings and kingdoms. I'll offer you glory, and nothing could tip the scales. Why? Because Jesus, all the honor went to his heavenly father. And so, get this, honor, it always says this, you first, you first. Let me read to you Romans chapter 12, verse 10. And I love how Paul puts this. He says, love one another with brotherly affection. And then he says, outdo one another in showing honor. Isn't that amazing? It's like Paul is creating a new competitive sport. I will out honor you. And the first 1 to 10 is going to win, okay? And so, listen, this is who we want to be in our church. We want to be a people that honor God, but a people that honor one another as well. Like, I hope we have awkward moments in our church that when you come, there's that awkward moment where someone holds the door for you and you're like, no, you go, no, you go, no, you go, right? And why? Because we're just, man, I'm not going to be out honored by you. That we should have a log jam in the hospitality area where the coffee is. No, sir, you first. No, you first. No, you first, right? And so I will out honor you. Honor says you're first. You know, in Matthew 6:33, I'll read it for you, but it's basically saying, hey, if you put God first, then God will be sure to make sure everything else is taken care of in your life. God first and everything else will follow. Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. See, honor says, God, you go first. And so let's be a people that honor God. May that be your focus as we enter here into 2022. May you want to be a person that honors God. And so what do? You honor God with the first of your day. That's why when the first thing I do when I get up in the morning, man, I get into that word and get into prayer. Why? Because it's about honor. God, you first. You get the first of my day. How about this? The first of your week. It's Sunday, the first day of the week. It is the Sabbath. It's the day historically where we go to church. Why? Because God, I want to honor you and give you the first of my week. How about we're embarking on a week of prayer and fasting. At the beginning of each and every year, God, we want to dedicate the first part of our year unto you. Why? Because it's honor. So, and for the record, for those of you, our online audience, man, if you would like to join us in honoring God in a week of prayer and fasting, we have actually some prayer and fasting guides that are made available to you digitally. If you go to our website, encnj.org. We're actually going to have prayer meetings at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. You can call and be a part of these prayer meetings. All that information you can find on our website. But wouldn't that be an amazing way to start your year by honoring God? I'll get this out as well. Do you know, I believe that we're to honor God with the first of our finances. And here's the great news. God promises as we do that, then he's going to care for us. All right. And so I'll end this section with this is, you know, in 1 Samuel 2:30, that God speaks to the prophet Eli, and he tells Eli this. He says, I honor those who honor me, that the Lord honors those who honor him. And I want to tell you something. That's pretty amazing. That's a great trade for you and for me. And so let's get back to our text here, the prayer of Jabez. And notice that the name Jabez, it means to be born in pain, that his mother named him. It means he makes me sorrowful. Thanks, Mom. Right. Thanks for the great name. And names are funny. I can remember when we the birth of my first daughter, Cassandra. Like it's funny as a pastor, you hear I'm always kind of like humbled by people that name their kids all these biblical names like, you know, Micah, Judah and Esther and so on and so forth. And then you get the pastor just to shoot you straight how he named my firstborn Cassandra. My wife and I were fans of two soap operas, The Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives. And Days of Our Lives had Kayla, and The Young and the Restless had Cassandra. And we were wrestling between the two, and we wound up going with the name Cassandra. Little did we know that name in the Greek, it means prophetess of doom. And my daughter's like, thanks, Mom and Dad, right? But this name, being born in pain, immediately that should click off in your head. That's Genesis 3 language. That's language from the fall. And if you remember, Adam and Eve sin against God, and God says that the earth is cursed now. And he tells the man, now labor is going to become toil, and the earth is going to war against you. And he tells the woman that you're going to experience pain in childbirth. And so all of these were designed to remind us that the world is broken. It's not as it should be. And with all that, see, so you and I, we should never be surprised that if we experience difficulty, pain, or sorrow, we just shouldn't. And so we're in a Genesis 3 world. So, you know, playing for 14 years in the NHL, I've got like a number of bumps and bruises. And so, listen, I can remember playing a game, and I was standing in front of the net, and a guy let a slap shot go. And, you know, slap shots can go up to 90, 120 miles an hour, and this thing hit me square in the jaw and wound up splitting my jaw in two places. I was wired shut for 40 days. So I had to talk like this. And then I remember as well, I got in a little bit of a scrap and we dropped the gloves. And then this guy hit me with the left and he shattered the left side of my face and put like five plates and 13 screws in my face to repair it. And then lastly, I always enjoy this one that I went in the corner. My body went one way, but my pinky, it went the other way and it dislocated. But get this. Never once during those moments did I be like, God, how could you? How could you allow that? Why? Because I knew, hey, man, the world of hockey, it's violent, at times bloody, and unbelievably aggressive. And so stuff like that is going to happen. And likewise, that you and I, living in a Genesis 3 world, it's violent, aggressive, and at times bloody. And so, but here's, I say that, listen, the gospel is good news. And get this, see, but you and I, though we live in a Genesis 3 world, we are not victims. We are not helpless victims, but because of the cross of Christ, we're victorious. We're victors. And so I heard the story of Kenny Sailors recently. I just love this story. And so if you're not familiar, Kenny Sailors, he and his brother, they loved playing basketball on their farm in Wyoming back in the 1930s. And so, so Kenny's older brother was 6'5". Kenny was 5'7". Can we agree there's a bit of a disadvantage to that? But Kenny didn't see it as a disadvantage. See, he knew he wasn't a victim, but he was going to be victorious. And so you know what he learned to do? He learned to jump, to elevate, and then he shot the ball with one hand. And with that, what was the invention of the now what we call it, the jump shot, right? And get this, Kenny Sailors went on to play NCAA basketball, and he would win, actually, right in New York City at Madison Square Gardens, they'd win the NCAA championship, and he would be the MVP. And here's what I love. See, Kenny Sailors, he realized, man, I'm not a victim. That when circumstances are against me, all I got to do is I elevate. And in the same way, you and I, man, we are not victims. That we have an unfair advantage in Jesus Christ, and that's this. We can elevate. We can go vertical immediately to our Heavenly Father. When circumstances, when darkness starts to press in, what do, man? We jump shot and we immediately go vertical to our Heavenly Father. And that's what Jabez did, because it says that Jabez called upon the Lord. And then I love he says this, oh, that you would bless me. Oh, that you would bless me. I mean, what a great prayer to pray right here in 2022. Oh, God, that you would bless me. And listen, like a little bit of my history is I got a little baggage as far as it goes with the prosperity gospel type of thing. When I my early Christian walk, man, I was like all about prosperity. What can I get from God? And then as I matured in the Lord, and then, man, I swung the pendulum the other way. Then it's kind of like, no, God wants us to, he needs us to suffer so we can get strong and he can cut away our flesh. And I almost became ascetic. And so by God's grace through maturity, I started to get more balanced in my approach. But I say that to say this, you know what? As I examine the Word of God, here's what I've come to believe that is true, is that though there might be times of wilderness season, there's a God that sits above it all, and he's a God who blesses. He's a God who blesses. And so a little exercise for me. Can you do this? So what is your first memory? Like if you can go back as far as you can remember, what is your first memory? And here's what I say that to get this. Now, I want to give you Adam and Eve's first memory. They were created, formed, and fashioned by God. And then it says this, that God blessed them. Like the first memory of humanity and mankind is that of a God who's a God of blessing. He blessed his people. How about this? Fast forward to Noah and the flood. God judges the earth and he spares Noah and his family. And the first words as they get off the boat after the flood is this. It says that God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fast forward to Genesis 12. God goes to a man named Abraham, and get this, he cuts a new covenant with this man, Abraham. And here's what he says to him in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I don't know if you saw that. That's a lot of blessing. Five blessings in three verses, because we serve a God who blesses. If you still don't believe me, and I've not beat this horse enough, Jesus shows up on the scene. And the greatest sermon Jesus ever preached was the Sermon on the Mount. And do you remember how he began his sermon? He began with the Beatitudes. Beatitude means the blessings, right? And he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after God. Blessed are those who seek righteousness, right? Blessed are the poor in spirit, so on and so forth. And then I'll just put the cherry on top with this. The last thing Jesus did as he was on planet Earth, the Bible says in Luke chapter 24 that as he ascended on high, it says he blessed his disciples. And so we serve God a blessing. But I want to put a little asterisk, a little warning label on blessing. And that is this. Man, be sure that you're chasing the blesser and not the blessing. You're chasing the blesser and not the blessing. Because, I mean, the Bible says this. It says, what good is it if you gain the entire world and you lose your soul? In other words, if you get everything but lose Jesus, what do you really have? And so I'm painfully aware of this. Like I said early on in my walk with Jesus, like I wanted God to bless me. And I remember I was trying out for Team USA. And I was up in Colorado, up at the Air Force Academy, and we had this tryout. And I was trying to be extra good, man. I was reading my Bible. Man, I was praying. I was dialed into the Lord. Why? Because I wanted him to bless me, to be honest with you. And guess what? I wound up making the team. And then I did what every Christian would do after God blesses, right? I went out and I got hammered with my teammates. And as we're walking the streets of Colorado Springs and jumping from bar to bar, suddenly there's a guy out on the street corner and he's handing out tracts preaching about Jesus. And all my teammates started to make fun of this guy. And you want to talk about a buzzkill. I mean, the Lord sobered me up like this fast. And so I waited after and I shooed my teammates away from this guy and thanked this guy. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me plain as day. I felt the Lord tell me this. He says, hey, do you want me or do you just want to use me for blessing? And you know what? That was a game changer in my life. That was an absolute game changer because I realized in that moment, it's Jesus that I want, not the blessing. We can go on and he says this. He says, won't you bless me? And then he says, enlarge my borders. Or in other words, he's saying, Lord, increase my influence, increase my authority. And here's a powerful formula for you. Is this greater intimacy with God will lead to greater authority with men. Greater intimacy with God will lead to greater authority with men. And if you just look in the rearview mirror of history, you can't deny it. Like Moses and David, intimate walks with the Lord. And yet they were just simple shepherds, right? And yet what did they do? They began to conquer lands that they spoke with kings and they built a nation and a kingdom. You can bring it into our time that this simple woman, Mother Teresa, or fast forward, even Billy Graham, this man and woman that were intimate with God, and it gave them all this authority in the earth with kings and dignitaries and nations. And so there's a principle at work here, that if you're faithful with little things, that God will make you a ruler over much. You're faithful with things, little things, that God will increase your influence. And so I read an amazing story. It was in Mark Batterson's book, Do It for a Day. And it talks about, in 1847, there was a civil engineer and he was charged to build a bridge across Niagara Falls. And so the great hurdle was at this time, in 1847, it's not like they can just get a drone and fly a cable. They didn't know how to get the cable from one side of the Niagara Falls to the other. And so until one man came up with a fascinating idea, they said, let's fly a kite over. And so they actually had a contest at Niagara Falls. Anybody could participate to see who could fly a kite and land it from one side of the falls to the other. And get this, a 15-year-old kid flew his kite over and he won the prize, $10, which I'm guessing in 1847 was pretty good. And then what they did is they took the young man's kite string from one side of the falls to the other, and then they attached a little bit thicker cable to it. And then after that cable, they hooked a little bit thicker cable and a little bit thicker until finally they had this massive steel cable that went from one side of the falls to the other. And out of that cable, they built the world's first railway suspension bridge, the first one ever. And it could hold a 170-ton locomotive, and it connected two countries together. And so I say that to say this, like a small string was transformed into a suspension bridge. And so if you can be faithful in something so small, like it can be transformative to your life, just like that string began to grow and to increase as you're faithful in your times of intimacy. Maybe nothing's too large, it'll begin to grow in your walk with God. And so let me give you a couple opportunities here as we're in 2022. I want to let you in on, do you know that we have actually a Bible reading plan that we're doing as a church? Again, you can find all this information on our website, but it's reading through the New Testament in a year. And listen, if you'd like to, you can join right in with us. Okay. And so, but it's what? It's about 10 minutes of reading every day, something very small, but it's building something very big on the inside. And then as well, I'd like to invite you to come join us in we have a week of prayer and fasting from Monday, January 10th to Friday, January 14th. We have prayer calls at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And so you're welcome to come join us in a week of prayer and fasting. And listen, maybe you just fast, it's one meal a day. Or maybe you just fast social media. Or maybe you just give God an extra hour of prayer. But I promise you that little things, God can transform into big things. And this little step of intimacy with God can lead to great authority with men. And so I hope you can join us for that. And then lastly is this, the last part of the prayer of Jabez. He says that your hand might be with me and that you would keep me from harm so that it might not bring me pain. And so that stood out to me. He says that your hand might be with me. And so the hand represents, the hand of God, it's the presence, the provision, the power, the protection of Almighty God with you. And if you have that, then He will protect you from the pain of a Genesis 3 world. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul. He says, man, I can do all things, anything through Christ. As long as the hand of God is with me, I can go through anything a Genesis 3 world has to offer. So I'll land the plane with this. I was reading a fascinating article in the Huffington Post. There was a recent study by Manhattansville College right here in New York. And here's what the research revealed. And I'm just going to read for you the science. It says this, that dog owners are happier, more sociable, and earn bigger salaries than cat owners. And it did say this, though, that cat owners are more likely to enjoy their own company. So congratulations, all right? And listen, if you're mad at me, if you're that cat guy or girl, don't get mad at me. It's the science. Get mad at the science, all right? And I say that to reference my youngest golden retriever. His name is Marshall, and I'm always a little bit nervous when he's around other people because he will attempt to grab people's wrists, and then he'll pull it down. And so some people, they think, oh, he's biting me. And I'm like, no, he's not biting you. He wants your attention. And so he'll grab your hand and he'll try to bring you down to his level. And so here's what I can't help but wonder. See, I would say this, that through the cross of Christ, God has extended his hand out to you. But my question is, how many of us will reach back and take hold of that hand? Like, are you reaching out, trying to grab God and bring him back down to you? Jabez, he knew this. Man, I need the hand of God on my life. And so listen, we have this unique opportunity as a church, we're entering into a week of prayer and fasting to reach out by faith and honor God with the first of our year. And then here's what I love, and our text ends with this, and God granted what he asked. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning just for your presence. And Lord, as we enter, Lord, into a new year, God, I just pray, Lord, that you would do great and glorious things in our life. Lord, as we go through this week of prayer and fasting, I pray that you would, Lord, that our imagination and our hope would increase and expand. Lord, I pray that you would make us new in 22 in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, speak a blessing over us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Well, listen, God bless you. The sermon's over, but I do want to remind you of one last thing, that you can remain faithful in your tithe and your offering. Remember that we talked about the honor of God, and we honor God by giving him the first of everything that comes in. And so there's three ways that you can give online. Is you can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can text. My family and I, we give this way. And if you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's a very convenient way to give. Or you can mail in your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. Every Nation, God loves you, and I think you're pretty amazing too. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, emcnj.org.